the letter Q.
What's your favorite team? What's your favorite team?
My favorite team is Toronto Maple Leafs.
What? What's your favorite team?
My favorite team is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What's your favorite team? Don't make me do it. That's your favorite team.
So I just want to say, guys, that I just tip my hat to you guys for having to create interesting things to talk about when the elephant in the room is a really dark, depressing one.
Not anymore. It's all roses and happiness, right? Yeah. NHL season, 2013-48 game regular season and the playoffs to follow are just around the corner. And it would be fitting to have on someone who spends his entire existence nitpicking NHL teams and players and performances, but I say that in a good way. That would be Timo Seppel from Hockey Prospectus and hockeyprospectus.com. He's on with us on a semi-regular basis, once every 2 or 3 weeks. Well, today's going to be on for the entire hour with Mr. Lippa and myself. Going over the league, as he said, we got 60 minutes, 30 teams, that's 2 minutes a team. That's not going to work. So we'll see what trends he's interested in. Specific teams, specific players, storylines, you know, the usual stuff. Sit back, enjoy, argue with them if you wish. Yelling at the radio is always a good stress reliever. You want to email warroom@SiriusXM.ca, warroom@SiriusXM.ca. Timo Seppa, hockeyprospectus.com. Mike Lippa, Mick Kern, and you on the War Room, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. I can see the lights coming up, closer and closer all the time. 2013 NHL regular season, 48-game schedule. 30 teams in a bit of a mini-marathon. A little more than a sprint, but it's going to go fast. Then we're going to be talking trade deadline before you know it, April 3rd? And the playoffs will be in May. And by June 28th, which will be a week into summer, and will be just before the baseball All-Star game, we'll be hoisting the Stanley Cup somewhere. Maybe in Los Angeles again. Maybe not. Well, 20 and other teams would like to be in that position. And this is what we do on the War Room. If you check out our website, by the way, we appreciate yesterday Lippa wasn't here. I have to get Lippa's predictions. If you check out SiriusXM, NHL.com, so www.SiriusXMNHL.com, go to the blog section. I call it an article. This really is a blog. Fourth annual War Room non-prediction prediction show. We got your calls and emails, a ton of them. Yesterday, and still got some this morning. If you still want to add, you haven't done it, by the way. Warroom@SiriusXM.ca is the address to reach me at. Warroom@SiriusXM.ca. The four questions from yesterday were which NHL team will win the 2013 Stanley Cup, which player will win the 2013 Hart Memorial Trophy, who will be the first NHL coach fired this season, or will there be none? Some people went with the no coaches fired option. And the fourth one, what is your wacky hockey prediction for this season? And there's some good ones. Some good ones, some creative ones. A lot doing with Scott Gomez, which is interesting. Poor Scott, huh? Yeah, he's rich and seems a good life. And we'll see if he picks a team picks him up or he ends up with another team. That's to be determined. But we appreciate that, so check out the website. If you want to get in-depth stuff beyond what I can give you, well, that's why when we pick up the phone, we call the experts, people who love hockey as much as you and I do and spend, I think, every waking hour and probably a few sleeping hours thinking and dreaming about it. One dude would be Timo Seppa from Hockey Prospectus and hockeyprospectus.com. The book is out now. It's been out for a bit. We had him on when it happened. It's available now, and we'll get Timo to explain where in a second. I've got a copy. I appreciate that. And it's going from my bookshelf down to the TV room as of tomorrow evening because last year it was a handy reference for players. You can't know every player, Timo may. I don't. I'm going to admit it to you. I'm more familiar with some than others. Aren't you the same way? Particularly teams that you like or dislike, rivals. This book will cover them all. It's an interesting read. You can dip into it or you can do it as sort of a long-form novel. Either way, you'll be better for the experience. Hockey Prospectus, the book and their website, hockeyprospectus.com, or in this case, puckprospectus.com. Timo Seppa's the guy, and he's going to be with us for the full hour. Lippa's dialed him up. Timo, how you doing?
Doing great, Mick. Looking forward to the season. It's about time, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I want to start off by, I want a whole bunch of things in the hour we're going to do. Mike Lippis got some business he's going to do. He's going to come back. He's going to join us at one point. We're going to pick your brain on some teams and some of the storylines. As you said, 60 minutes, well, 50 minutes now. How can you get all 30 teams in? You can't. But we're going to do our best. I want to ask first, where can people get the book?
Sure. You can get the book that you can hold in your hand. You can get that at Amazon.com. If you need the book today for your fantasy draft or whatever tonight, you can get a digital download just from our website, HockeyPerspectives.com. The paperback is $20, and the digital download is $10.
That's a great deal, and I'm going to tell you, I don't get any money for saying this. I do have my name on the book in the back, which, just makes my wife shake her head. Ah, oh, boy. But, I finally, I'm on a hockey book. Woohoo! And I appreciate that, by the way. But it's a great book. I'm saying that. You sent me it last year, sent me it this year, and it is a great reference point. When I'm watching a game, it really sort of flushes out my enjoyment of watching a National Hockey League game, especially between two teams who I may not be as familiar with. Say if I'm watching, Columbus and Winnipeg. No, that wouldn't happen this year. Should happen, but it won't. Say Columbus and, say, Colorado. I wouldn't know as much as I would, say, L.A. and Anaheim. And it flushes out stuff, and it's well done. Quick point to this before we move on to the season, Timo. The book you wrote... you and your compatriots there put together expecting a whole season. Does this change it up, any of the stuff in there, because they're only playing 48 games?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the easiest thing is obviously just to prorate, but the rankings of the players and the teams aren't going to change. It's just the amount of points. If you're looking for our projected points for totals for the teams, we've got it on the website. Just looked off to the top right there, and you can click on one of my posts there, and it's got both our original projections for the teams and the 48-game projections. But that's just prorating it.
Perfect. So you still want to pick that up. Now, how do you want to handle this season? I don't mean the entire season. We're going to get you on every couple of weeks, of course. But our preview today, you're right, we can't do all 30 teams. How do you want to dive into this? We certainly want to get a feel for how you and the people you work with think what's going to happen in a 48-game schedule. Where should we start?
Well, you can you want to pick a division. You want to go bottom to top. We can talk about the 48-game season as well if you want to talk about that.
Okay, let's start. What teams, and this is asked a lot, Timo, and definitely want to get your take on this. Everyone's trying to look at the numbers and dissect the numbers to see if there are teams that will benefit or will be hurt by a shortened season. Any leap to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote an article for ESPN Insider today about the impact of the 48-game schedule that should be up on the site fairly soon. Mostly it's going to just add some more uncertainty into what teams are going to make it. I didn't look at this in any kind of a, too much of a long hair kind of a egghead kind of a way. Just looked at just the first 48 games of the last seven seasons and just saw, looked at what happened. I mean, probably the most interesting thing that you notice there, if you think back to the 2008-2009 season, you remember what kind of a turnaround Pittsburgh had when they brought on Dan Bylsma and when Sergei Gonchar came back from injury. And so they were actually, for the first 48 games of the season, they were 11th in the East. So, they were a non-playoff team. So if you had that kind of a situation in 2008-2009, Pittsburgh wouldn't have even made the playoffs. Neither would have Carolina, who were in the conference finals with them. So, I mean, you end up with situations like that. But overall, you look at most of the cases, I mean, it's 6, 7, and 8 seeds that wouldn't have made the playoffs in certain cases. And you're looking at probably a difference of 2 or 3 teams on the average year that would have made it in an 82-game schedule that wouldn't make it in a 48-game schedule.
And last year, that may have been the Wild and the Maple Leafs, for example, right?
Right. I mean, last year, a big example, was the Minnesota Wild. That would have been that would have been the only difference last year is Minnesota would have made it, and Phoenix, who was a conference finalist, would not have made it. So, you know what? It's a double-edged sword, though, right? I mean, the lowest the worst team that actually would have made it over the last seven seasons was Colorado from 2010-2011. They had 54 points halfway through the season. They finished with 68. They picked up 14 points in the last half of the season. They actually would have made the playoffs, but you think about what would have happened there. Okay, they would have made one round of playoffs, made their fans happy. They would have picked up a little bit of extra postseason income, and they would have missed out on getting Gabriel Lane
there you go.
In the draft.
Yep, good point that you know, move one piece, everything else moves. What I love about the article that you sent me ahead of time here is, and I love this, there's nothing magical about the 82-game mark. At some point, you need a proper sample size. You're not just going to play a 10-game schedule.
Right.
Because teams, as you know, can go on streaks, and injuries are always a big part of any sport. But what I do find fascinating is, okay, we have 48 games. I think that's a big enough sample size. But how is it affected that teams only play within their conferences? Because to me, a snapshot look at the NHL is the Western Conference is stronger than the Eastern Conference. Yep. I don't know if the numbers bear that out. But if you don't have to play any interconference games until the Stanley Cup final, how does that affect the final numbers?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is, I mean, I'm looking forward to next offseason. I mean, GMs are going to think that some Eastern Conference players are better than they are.
And
some Western Conference players are worse than they are. But overall, I mean, I don't think it's going to have an impact in the standings or the you know who wins the Stanley Cup at the end. But there are some interesting cases where 48 games might make a difference. I mean, I mentioned this in the article too. And think about the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, they're our top ranked team. They're the top ranked team by the Vegas odds.
Yes.
I mean, what's the difference in playing 48 games and 82 games? It actually could help the Penguins because obviously they're going to hold their breath every game and every shift on what's going to happen with Sidney Crosby. He might make it through 70 games of the regular season and the postseason. He might not make it through 100 games. So, ironically, if you think Pittsburgh is the best team, they actually could end up as the Stanley Cup champions in a 48-game schedule, but might not in an 82-game schedule.
Yes, and some people were joking yesterday, wacky predictions on the War Room. Crosby will play 48 games this year, which, okay, and you know what, they'll take it. Timo Seppel from Hockey Prospectus and puckprospectus.com. I guess that's the website, is it?
Yeah, that was their old name. People sometimes, I mean, that it the website's out there under both names.
Okay, so hockeyprospectus.com will do that too. He's the guy who joins us to break down the numbers and to flesh out the numbers, to put some life into them here in the War Room every couple of weeks, and we're here for the whole hour. In the next two segments, we're going to get into specific teams if we could. Give me some other stuff that you're looking at, some trends, some lines that you think that you're going to look for right out of the gate.
Sure. I mean, obviously it makes a big difference what teams get off quickly. I mean, it doesn't take advanced stats to say this. I mean, you've heard this from the mainstream, and this is one case where they're right, is I think that teams that have kept most of their players together have the same coach. I mean, those
yep.
teams you would figure would gel and could get off to a faster start. Obviously, if you've got some injuries, lingering injuries starting the season already, like a Ryan Kessler or Anze Kopitar, that's going to be magnified in a 48-game season. I mean, you would figure most players are healthy to begin the season, but there are a few notable exceptions.
What do you make of... historically, I like to ask you this because we make a big deal about these supposed Stanley Cup hangover from teams. The fact that no one's repeated since the Red Wings in the late 90s. We know that back to back because teams are doing, you know, Leno and all that kind of stuff. They're going to Boston Patriots. You know what I mean? New England Patriots kickoffs halfway through the season, whatever. There's all these other extracurricular activities. Well, the Kings, they did a bit of that, but you know, they've had a lot of time now to sort of get rid of that supposed hangover. A, does it exist in your opinion? And B, I take it the Kings, if it does exist, won't be affected by it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an odd season. You don't really know what's going to happen this time around. I think it did happen to Boston last season. I mean, they were a dominant team. I mean, they still ended up a high seed, but they were absolutely dominant for the first half of the season. And they trailed off a bunch. And, you know, their management was concerned, and rightly so, heading into the playoffs. That, you know, you play that long season, you win the Stanley Cup, and you know you're actually able to get up for half the season. But it's maybe tough to do that for 82 games. I think there's a lot of other factors that cause teams not to repeat. It's just hard to make it through the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's hard to be healthy 2 years in a row, all that. But I do think there is something of the Stanley Cup hangover, and I think you saw that with Boston last year.
Good stuff. Okay, before we take a break here, Timo, and get into some team specifics, and you sent me the NHL team projections, 2013s, the projections, and I'm already raising my eyebrows at some going, really? I'll have to pick your brain on that one. Before we do that, anything else generally that you want to touch upon that you think people should look for? Anything else before we get specific?
I think one thing that the quote-unquote advanced stats community notices that maybe the mainstream fan doesn't, but you got a couple great examples last year, is how volatile goalie performances are from year to year.
Sure.
I mean, you look at Brian Elliott going from our worst player overall two seasons ago to being one of the best last season. You look at Mike Smith, who hadn't really been able to get his feet under him in his NHL career, and he's our best player overall last year. I mean, those swings go one way and the other. I mean, obviously, Brizgalov went the other way.
Yes.
So even more so in a 48-game season, I mean, you could have goalies that look really great and really poor, you know, surprisingly great and surprisingly poor over the shorter season.
Boy, it always comes down in hockey to goaltending, doesn't it? That whole thing about a few years ago, wow, you don't really need you need goaltending, but almost any stiff will do. You can win without it. You just really get let down, don't you? I mean, you don't necessarily need the superstar, but just the way the game's set up, you need a goaltending performance. Your whole team can be capsized. Do the numbers bear that out?
Yeah, I mean, in a short playoff series season, anything can happen. You had a couple years ago when you had Michael Layton and Brian Boucher and Antti Niemi in the finals, and people were saying, oh, goaltending doesn't matter. And then you have, you know, another season where you say, oh, goaltending is everything. You know, you need at least pretty good goaltending, and you just need it to get hot at the right time in the playoffs.
Good stuff. Timo Seppä, Hockey Prospectus and HockeyProspectus.com. The man with the numbers and flushes out the numbers. We're going to go to break right now. Oh, Paul Padouche back flying, the co-pilot. Paul, good to have you back. Lippa's doing some other stuff. Busy man there. Timo's busy too, getting ready for the season, just like you are out there. 2 days from now, NHL 13 season. No, this 12-13 doesn't exist. It's 13. 14 game. That'd be something. 48 game. Mini marathon, sprint, and then into the playoffs. Coming up on the other side of this break, we're going to start to look at some teams individually. I've already got a bunch of questions, and I'm sure Timo has some stuff he wants to talk about. Look at some of the favorites. Look at some of the teams that may be on the bubble. And to me, teams we don't always talk about, the bottom feeders. Are they going to be there again? And heck, are they at least, from what he can see, on the right path? Numbers will tell you the tale. They give you some of the tale. They don't explain the entire thing, but it's a good starting point, isn't it? We appreciate Timo Seppä sitting along with us. Make sure you stay along, too. Go take your break. Well, you got about 3 minutes, right, Paul? Yeah. It's the War Room, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. Oh, no, the Clash today. Good stuff. Hey, it's the War Room, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. I'll sing for you, sure. Mick Kern with you. Paul Padouche on the other side of the glass. Lippa will be back. Peter Burst back next week, just in time for the hockey season. It's back, as you know. You know, not less than 48 hours. Depends on where you are, but just over 48 hours till they drop the puck. On Saturday afternoon, we get going. And by the end of the weekend, all the teams will have played one game. And on Monday, when we open the phones, I want to get your reaction. You like what you've seen? Were you there? Did you do a little protest? Did you get some free goodies, to half price stuff? Whatever the experience was, the fan experience in the arenas and or in front of the television screen. I can't go to any of the games, so I will be. The wife says I'm off the hook for the kids' sports. She'll take them there, and I'm going to do the marathon on Saturday afternoon to the evening. So I'm curious. That's where we're going to open the phones. Your reaction on Monday. Tomorrow's the War Room review. We're going to anticipate the season coming up. Right now, that's exactly what we're doing in two ways. One, check out our website, www.siriusxmnhl.com, SiriusXM, NHL.com for the 4th Annual War Room Non-Prediction Prediction Show that we did. All your results are up there. If you still want to get it in under the wire, we'll take them, of course, before the season starts, okay? War Room at SiriusXM.ca, War Room at SiriusXM.ca. Who's going to win the Cup, 2013 Stanley Cup? Who will win the Hart Trophy? First NHL coach fired this season? Or will there be any? You should ask Timo that, like he knows. We don't know. This is part of the fun of guessing. And what is your wacky hockey prediction for this season? So check that out. Timo Seppä is our guest. He's with us on, probably on a bi-weekly basis from Hockey Prospectus and HockeyProspectus.com. Pick up that book or get it digitally into your collection. It will enhance your viewing experience. It's they break down the numbers and they're not dry. That's the best part about it. Timo's back. Now, Timo, I want to ask you, you're going to be spending the whole day Saturday watching, are you?
You know, I'm going out to definitely going to catch the Penguins and Flyers early on.
Yep.
On TV, but I'll be out at Nassau Coliseum for the Devils and Islanders, and I'm also out on Martin Luther King Day afternoon out to watch Tampa and the Islanders.
I am jealous, and I know people say, you're jealous? I love to see a game there before the Islanders abandon that building. I know people say, oh, whatever, it's a dump, but, you know, historic, love to be there. Perfect segue into the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm looking at your Mr. Seppa's production predictions here using the Vokoda system. I'm going to get you to explain that in a second. You had your original 82-game projections and now the 48-game equivalents, and Pittsburgh tops that. First, for people who don't know, what is the Vokoda system?
Right. It's a projection system. You know, it builds on our player evaluation metric, which we call goals versus threshold, basically says how many goals is a player worth over the course of a season more than you know, a top AHL player or somebody who you could pick up off of waivers. And basically each six goals that somebody's worth is that's worth a win in the standings. So when the good thing about GVT is then you can add up all those values of the players and it gives you how strong the team is. And we use that for our projections to figure out who we think will be the best team. I mean, obviously, a lot can change over the course of a season, injuries, bounces, et cetera. So, you know, it's our best guess.
And you've been pretty accurate, actually, in the past few seasons. To blow your own horn, I'll blow it for you. You've been pretty pretty accurate. Now, the one thing I'm curious, a side note before we get into these rankings, the first few games, because there haven't been a lot of practices, it's been a rushed, quote-unquote, training camp. A lot of players have played overseas or in the AHL, but not everybody. What do you expect the style of play to be like the first week? Maybe scrambly?
Yeah, probably sloppy. You know, definitely for some teams. I'm sure there'll be some teams out there that are less prepared than others. And
will that skewer the numbers then before it settles down?
I'm sorry?
Will that skewer the numbers potentially before it settles down?
Yeah, I mean certainly. You know, a team, I certainly wouldn't jump to conclusions. I mean, you shouldn't over a couple games anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the season's short, so teams have got to figure it out fairly quickly. But, I mean, if you got a team out there who you think is going to be good, I don't know, the Rangers,
sure,
the Flyers, some team like that, and they get, you know, blown out, you know, 6-0 and
don't panic, right?
In the first two games.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, you could see some crazy things happen over the first couple of
games. Yeah, don't panic, folks. And the time, don't get too high either. 48 games is still a pretty good sample size. We're not talking 10 games here, though we'll see. Okay, let's deal with it. You've got your rankings here, your original 82-game projections, as I said, and now corrected or changed to reflect the 48-game regular season we're going to have. As I was said to you off-air, and I'll say it on air now, the first nine don't surprise me. I'm just going to say them in order, and we can break it down. I want to get to the two 10th place teams in a second. You got Pittsburgh first, followed by Boston, Chicago, Vancouver, and LA, the Rangers, Philadelphia, San Jose, and St. Louis. And some of them are tied. Chicago and Vancouver are tied. So Pittsburgh you've got for 61 points, all the way down to St. Louis for 56. None of those nine teams probably surprise anyone for being in your top 10. I'll get to the 10th place later because they both surprised me. Which ones stand out there? Let's deal with Pittsburgh. A lot of people are very high on them. Marc-Andre Fleury and net, and they've got, Thomas Vokoun is the backup? I'm trying to remember now. So many things have changed.
I mean, definitely, but I mean, the question is, I mean, how's that going to shake out by the end of the season? I mean, who's going to be number one in the playoffs? Obviously, Fleury was a huge problem in last season's playoffs. I know people say, well, the defense didn't, you know, back him up. Well, you know, if you have an .834 save percentage.
Oh, no, he was not good.
That means you're doing an awesome
job. I agree.
So, I mean, Vokoun is actually our third-ranked goalie since 2005-2006. So he's really underrated.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the one under-the-rating signing from over the summer that really could pay dividends for Pittsburgh in the playoffs. On the other hand, I mean, other than Crosby, which, you know, everybody will figure out and everybody will notice, you know, what's going to happen with him, the other question is, what's Evgeny Malkin going to be this year? I mean, everybody remembers that he was, you know, the Art Ross Trophy winner last year. He had 109 points. Well, the season before that, he had 37 points. So, I mean, which Malkin is going to show up? Is it going to be the good one, the bad one, or somewhere in between? I mean, that definitely makes a difference.
And I've seen, and there's injuries in there too, of course, back then. But his numbers really do change when Crosby's in the lineup. I don't know if that works out with your projections, but when I've seen them, they really do change. Any idea why?
Well, I mean, obviously that the opposition has to cover two great lines instead of one great line. But I don't know that it's all about Crosby, and I don't know it's all about the opposition. I mean, I think obviously he had an injury-shortened season.
Yeah.
2 years ago, but that wasn't it. His per game production had dropped.
Yes.
And it skyrocketed last year. So, I mean, I think you need to look at the man himself, too.
Okay, let's look at some of these top nine before we move on. Timo Seppo from Hockey Prospectus and HockeyProspectus.com here in the War Room, taking a quick, an hour-long look at the 2013 NHL regular season. The LA Kings, you got tied for fifth here. You're projecting 57 points. They're tied with the Rangers and the Flyers. And you know, many people, Timo, when we open the phones, are predicting an LA Rangers Stanley Cup final, which I think the league would just absolutely sign up for right now.
Right.
The Kings, we talked about them with the Stanley Cup hangover. It should be non-existent this year. But putting that aside, just them as a team, to me, to everybody, they underachieved in the regular season last year and then didn't just catch fire. They didn't get lucky. They were a very good team. They got it together for the playoffs and steamrolled. This year, I'm thinking they can't pull that same trick.
Well, right. I mean, they were a lot better than an 8 seed. They had such awful shooting for most of the season that, I mean, that was kind of masking the fact that they were a good possession team. They got great goaltending, and anytime you see a team with great goaltending, you got to wonder if at least that part of the equation is going to take a step back. I mean, people think about Jonathan Quick as being an elite goalie, and we have him right at the top of our group too. On the other hand, that can change. I mean, he's dealing with coming off of an injury. And, you know, even though we think that he could be one of the best goalies in the NHL, it doesn't mean that he's going to play out of his mind either. So, you know, the goaltending taking a step back could be something that could hurt them.
Let me ask about goaltending for Chicago. You got tied for third place with Vancouver with 58 points. Many people say, well, the goaltending isn't up to snuff. What about there?
Yeah, I mean, Corey Crawford, he's an okay goalie. I mean, Chicago is a team like Detroit that has tried to do it recently by putting all their payroll into their skaters and saying, we can have a pretty good goalie, and that'll be good enough to win. And you know what? It worked for Detroit with Chris Osgood in goal. It worked for Chicago with Niemi
yep.
in goal. So, that formula can work. I guess what you'd wonder with about Chicago is they had such fantastic depth when they won the Stanley Cup. Obviously, they had to trade off a bunch of that to make it under the salary cap. I guess the question is the new generation of players, can they fill in and make the depth the same that it was back a couple years ago?
Let's deal with the San Jose Sharks. You got them a big tied for fifth with L.A., the Rangers, and Philly at 57 projected points for the 2013 NHL regular season. So many times, Timo, since I've been on this channel, the Sharks have been a lot of people's favorite to win the Stanley Cup. They haven't gotten to the final yet, as Shark fans can painfully attest to. What do you expect out of them as a group, and are they a team that may benefit from this?
You never know. I mean, obviously, it's a team that, I mean, it's been talked about for a couple of years that, you know, the window's closing. And, you know, it's obvious, and I agree. I mean, it's a team whose window is closing. I mean, they either need to win a cup pretty soon or they need to rebuild. I mean, the flip side of winning so much is the fact that you get a bunch of low draft picks. So, Yeah, I think the time is now. I mean, other than Logan Couture, they don't have a lot of really young players.
Okay, so let's deal with the two 10th-place teams then. As I said, the first nine, no surprise probably to anyone out there when they put aside their personal prejudices. You got tied for 10th with 54 projected points. One team I can see, Carolina, the Hurricanes, a team I like very much. And the Toronto Maple Leafs at 10. And, I'm a Habs fan, so I can't like the Leafs. But putting all that junk aside, there are so many questions in this city that we are residing in here, Toronto, about the Leafs with their goaltending and will they get Luongo and Van Riemsdyk being grafted on, a new GM, but that's different. Randy Carlyle is the bigger deal. He gets the full year of the reins. Let's deal with the Leafs first. Why are you so bullish on them?
You know what? They're a team that, I mean, I personally agree that Brian Burke probably should have paid the price because he certainly had a lot of questionable choices, like, you know, trading for Phil Kessel, and you end up losing out on Sagan and stuff like that. The team improved over his tenure, just not really quickly. And you know, they've got some bright lights there now. With Phil Kessel has turned into a legit top scorer. I mean, Jeffrey Lupul, if he can keep it up. I mean, they've got a decent amount of talent there. Obviously, the biggest question is goaltending. And, I wouldn't write off James Reimer.
No, neither would I. Yep.
I mean, he was good for half a season 2 years ago. And he, you know, you could write off last year to bad luck, to not being able to bounce back from that injury. So he could still end up being an average NHL goaltender, I would say an average starter. But definitely, I mean, if you're going to have that team and try to make the playoffs, they're a bubble team. But if they can improve their goaltending, I mean, that would be obviously the one thing you would do.
Now for people saying, what the heck, projected points here. Carolina, Toronto, 10th place with 54. You go down to 18th place, and there's 53 points. So it's quite a logjam there. You've got Detroit with 54, Nashville, and then from Buffalo, Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, Calgary, Ottawa, Tampa Bay, Washington, 53. Still, the fact remains, you got the Leafs ahead of the Capitals. Okay, just by one point. I mean, I want the puck to drop now. I want to see if this is going to come true. What about Washington? What about them? As you said, they're tied for 18th, but they're right in there. They could have been 10th place if they had one more point. New coach, new attitude, new system. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm in a position to say what's going to happen with Adam Oates or with a new system or whatever. But I mean, the top thing you're going to talk about with the Capitals, obviously, is Alex Ovechkin. And you go back a year and a half ago. The only discussion that you're having is who's the best player in the NHL, Crosby or Ovechkin. And, Stamkos came into the discussion shortly thereafter, and probably, Giroux and Malkin are in that discussion now. But, I mean, I don't think you can legitimately call Ovechkin one of the couple best players in the NHL anymore. I mean, his points have gone down from 109 to 85 to 65. I mean, that's a pretty big nosedive for a guy going from his age 24 to age 26 season. And the biggest thing that drove his point scoring was the fact that he always led the league by a ton in shots. And that hasn't happened anymore. He had 303 shots last season. That's 225 less than in 2008-2009. So the question is, I mean, obviously Ovechkin's a very good player still, but he may not be the superstar that everybody perceives him to be. Another point would be Mike Green. I mean, they signed him on for, 3 years, $18 million. I mean, he may be a shell of himself at this point.
But did that have to do with the system, obviously, for the part of the season where Dale Hunter was coaching them? And if they go back to something like Bruce Boudreau was espousing, that maybe those numbers go up.
Right, and certainly there definitely could be something to how Dale Hunter was coaching. On the other hand, those trends started in the Bruce Boudreau era.
They did.
Both Ovechkin and Mike Green. I mean, Mike Green here, I mean, think about this. They signed him for 3 years, $18 million. You go back three seasons ago, 76 points in 75 games. That's 1 point per game. Two seasons ago, 24 points in 49 games. 1 point every two games. Last season, 7 points in 32 games. That's less than one in every four games. I mean, that's a big risk to hope that Mike Green is the Mike Green of old.
Yeah, and a guy who basically is an offensive defenseman. His defensive game is not the best, so that's what he brings. I want to go back to Carolina because I didn't deal with them. They're tied for 10th in your projections with 54 points. What do you like about this team?
You know, they've been a pretty good team. They were a bubble team there for several years with Paul Maurice. I mean, looking at my, the 48-game thing that I did for the ESPN article, if you look at the last 48 games of the season, there were about 3 years in a row there where Carolina would have made the playoffs because they always rallied furiously at the end of the season.
That's right.
And they fell short. So, I mean, they really were a bubble team there for several years. So, I mean, that's a team that was right on the fringe of the playoffs, and now they've reloaded with two really good players. Jordan Staal, who they traded for from Pittsburgh, I think he's it's probably a stretch to say he's underrated, but advanced stats like him maybe even more than, perception has about him. So he's a guy who's a really strong possession player, and he's going to really help Carolina. The other one is the much maligned Alex Semin. He didn't get traded. He didn't get signed for more than a year by Washington last year. They finally said goodbye to him. He only got a one-year contract from Carolina because basically whatever it is about him out there, GMs are scared of him. But he comes in really good through the advanced metrics as well. So I mean those are two really big pieces that they added to an already fairly good team in Carolina.
Yeah, Semin is always an enigma. He's so talented. I honestly think the fight he had years ago, it looked like he was playing the bongo drums. I think that hurt him. He was seen as a wimpy player. We'll see what happens with him. Intriguing stuff with Timo Seppel from, hopefully you find it intriguing, from Hockey Prospectus and hockeyprospectus.com. On the other side, when we come back, in our last segment of the War Room today, I want to deal with the bubble teams and the bottom feeders. There is a surprise in here that made my eyes go. I mean, the Leafs in 10th, okay, I'm not buying it still. Carolina, I am. But there's a team he's got tied for 26th that I'm like, huh? Now, keep in mind, Timo and the staff here, the points from third, 58, Chicago, down to 26th spot, 50. That's only an 8-point gap. It's not like it's huge. But they're all going to matter in a 48-game schedule. That we know they always do, an 82-game schedule too. But there's going to be less separation, I would imagine. At least his numbers are showing that. But there's one team tied for 26 that it makes me go, huh? And I want to deal with that out of the gate. And, Timo, if I go by these rankings, man, you got Washington, Tampa, with Ottawa. They're all bubble teams. It's a good team's going to miss the playoffs, as usual, aren't they?
Definitely.
See, one-word answer. That's all you need. On the other side, we're going to deal with that. Stick around. Lots of hockey talk. Appreciate you around. This is The War Room, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. It is The War Room, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. Nick Kern with you. Mike Lippa back in the seat. Tomorrow's show is the review as we have our block party here for the NHL returning on Saturday. On Monday, we're going to open up the phones. Go straight. Peter will be back, Mr. Burris, hopefully. And we're going to ask you about the first week in hockey. So make sure you watch. It'll be fun homework to do, right? What we're doing right now is setting that up for you with Timo Seppel from Hockey Prospectus and HockeyProspectus.com, which joins us every couple of weeks right now for the entire hour, looking at the season that they think they smashed the numbers together, put them in the blender, and they've been pretty good with their predictions. These things are never accurate, but it's like a weather forecast. It can change, all different things that you don't know, but you know what? For the most part, we bitch about weather forecasts, but for the most part, they're pretty accurate for what's going to happen. People go, no, they aren't. Think about it. You only think about the times it doesn't. It's not accurate, right? When you got the picnic planned and it rains. I understand that. So, take this with a grain of salt, but not too many grains of salt because they're pretty much in the, I say the ballpark, but let's use the hockey. They're pretty much in the arena. Now, I want to deal with the bottom feeders or the bubble teams with Timo here. And one stands out, and I'm going to say who this team is in a second. Let's just put it this way. In the Eastern Conference last year, this team had 102 points. They were tied for the fourth best record in the East, one of the better records in the league. They finished sixth because Florida gets bumped up, of course, and pushes everyone down, how that goes. And now, Timo, you're telling me that this team, who go by the name of the New Jersey Devils, are going to be tied for 26th spot with only 50 points, albeit that's only 10 points out of second spot in the entire league, but in a 48-game schedule. Why are you not so hot on these guys?
I mean, to start with, they lost their best player in Zach Parise. And if you go back before his knee trouble, he was among the handful of best forwards in the NHL, not
Agreed.
Scoring,
yeah.
but big two-way presence. And, you know, I'm frankly even more bullish on him than our projections because, you know, a lot of times when you have a knee injury, you can come back to your old level in 2 years, but maybe not in the next year. So I think he's a really good pickup for Minnesota. I mean, obviously with both him and Suter, they're long-term deals. So, I mean, that'll hurt him down the road, but, missing Parise is a big part. And they've got, older players like Patrick Elias, you know, how long can he keep it up? Ilya Kovalchuk went from a really bad year in 2010, 2011 to a fantastic year last year, including all of a sudden learning how to perform in the shootout. He had scored 11 shootout goals in 42 attempts career before last year, and he scored 11 in 14 attempts last year. So, I mean, there's things like that where you just look and say, they lost Parise, they're aging, some of the luck may turn against them. And probably maybe the biggest factor other than Parise is Martin Brodeur. I mean, how long can he actually continue performing fairly well? He had a strong second half of the season and a strong playoff. If you look at the year and a half before that, he was well below average.
Yes, agreed. Okay, another one that caught my eye that tumbled down were the Florida Panthers. They had 94 points last season. They took the Southeast division. They took the elevator shaft out, but they still would have made the playoffs. They would have been, sixth place if they had just gone by points in the East. You've got them if they played a full season with 84 points, so projected out for 48 games, that's 49 points, well out of a playoff spot here. Why are you not hot on the Panthers?
One thing that you don't like about Florida is the fact that they ended up getting a lot of these so-called loser points. What we mean by that is when you teams that end up taking the game to overtime bunch of times, they pick up that free point in the NHL's not really good point system. I mean, really the NHL should use a point system like they do in the Olympics where it's 3 points for a win and 2 points for an overtime win. So Florida actually had a negative goal differential, and under a more reasonable point system, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. So they had their overtime and shootout record was 7-18. Frankly, they could have ended up with even more points if they actually could play in overtime in the shootout. But the fact is, they got a bunch of these points for losing games.
Let's look at the bottom here, up just from the time remaining here in the war room. Columbus in last place, you know, projected 47 points. Not a surprise. That's going to be a slow build. They just have to draft properly. Florida next. Then you got Phoenix. Phoenix down of only 50 points. You projected 86 in a 40-game schedule. What, did the clock strike on Cinderella here? What's up with that?
Well, I have to say, you were giving our projection system some accolades, and I appreciate that, but it has its misses too, and we've had Phoenix out of the playoffs the last couple of years. So
okay,
I mean, that's a team that I think it's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yes,
the stats don't always figure it out, at least when you look at broad brush stats, and I think that definitely Dave Tippett adds value to that team. So I don't think they're the third worst team in the NHL. I definitely think they could miss the playoffs. The big thing you look at there, again, is the fact that all of a sudden Mike Smith went from kind of a semi-nobody goaltender to all of a sudden this world beater.
Yep.
I mean, they probably, by all rights, should have lost to Chicago in that playoff series. They were outshot by a ton, but, I mean, that's all Mike Smith. And, you know, can Mike Smith and his, you know, the goalie guru, Sean Burke, can they pull that off again? Probably not to the extent they did last year.
Yes, and I'm just going to notice for my own purposes, Montreal had 78 points last year. You got them with 89, or as you project this in 48, that'd be 52 points, still well short of a playoff. I'm all right with that. I want that to be a proper build. Don't rush it. Timo, good stuff. Hockey Prospectus and hockeyprospectus.com is the place to go, right?
Yep, absolutely. Go go get our book, pick it up for your fantasy draft, or to follow along with the games like Mick Kern does.
Well, boy, there, that sunk sales. Good stuff, sir. So we'll get you on probably, are you available late next week?
Sure, just let me know when.
We will do that, and we'll get you on probably on a bi-weekly basis to track this. Timo, thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it, Mick. Thanks.
Good stuff. Timo Seppel, Hockey Prospectus, hockeyprospectus.com. Check it out. You can agree or disagree. Jersey down, like, that's going to be interesting. Phoenix, too. Some are saying they may be the one dislodged in the West. It's pretty tough. Lipa, you've been busy. I got to ask you. He's got the Leafs ranked 10th overall. So let me count here. You got Pittsburgh. Okay, Pittsburgh, Boston. I'm using my fingers, too, folks. Rangers, Philadelphia, Carolina. He's got them in sixth place in the East. What do you think?
Well, you got to figure they'll be fighting for a playoff spot. So 8-8, that's already 16 teams. So how could they be at 10th? You're going to think they're more between 16 to 20.
Well, he's got them 10th, Carolina in that, and the 10th overall in the league, so that'd be 6th place in the East. It's going to be fun. Come on.
I'm saying he's fighting for a playoff spot to leave, so no, I have them farther than 10th.
Yeah, so would I, but we'll see. Good stuff. Thanks for listening. Keep it here all day. SiriusXM NHL Network Radio.